BBC Education. Radio History 11 to 14. Witchcraft by Murdoch Rogers.
It's dark. You're alone, all alone. What's that? Eye of newt and toe of frog, all a bat and tongue of dog, adder's fork and blind worm sting, lizard's leg and howlet's wing, for a charm of powerful trouble like a hell broth boil and bubble, double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron.
Are you afraid of the unknown? Do you see faces in the dark, hear voices? Well, people have always been superstitious, but during the 16th and 17th centuries, the fear of strange goings-on gripped people all over Europe. Over 100,000 were put to death, accused of being witches, and causing all kinds of misfortune through their supernatural powers. There were many reasons for this witchcraft craze. To begin with, the church became determined to get rid of all these evil people.
The terrible spectre of witchcraft is upon us. The Holy Bible tells us what to do. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. It could not be any clearer. Now then, let me make this point for those of you with doubts on this subject. If you believe in God and his messengers on earth, then equally you must believe in the devil and his vile and despicable agents. Witches can be no other than the devil's disciples, and they need to be rooted out. It is, and must be, your Christian duty. You must be prepared to tell on your father, mother, sister, or brother.
Such views could be heard in pulpits all over the country. The church had tolerated witches for centuries, but now witchcraft had become a crime. You were called a devil worshipper if you went against the official teachings of the church. Many people wrote books about the evils of witchcraft, including King James I of England, who published Demonology in 1597.
Witchcraft is one of the most horrible crimes that you are bound in conscience never to forgive.
According to the king, women were always more likely than men to be potential witches.
Women are frailer than men and are thus more likely to be trapped by the evil works of the devil. He remembers only too well that in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Eve was quickly deceived by the serpents. That is why the devil prefers the fairer sex to accomplish his evil plotting.
Improvements in printing had made books cheaper, and this meant that more people were able to read about witchcraft. It was clear that both the king and church wanted witches destroyed. Laws were passed throughout Europe which made witchcraft a punishable offence. In the past, you might have accused someone of being a witch, but now you could take them to court, and if they were found guilty, they would be put to death. Scotland held more witchcraft trials than anywhere else in Britain, because the church was very strict and exerted a powerful influence in the community.
McDowell, you have been found guilty of crimes of sorcery and witchcraft.
August the 28th, 1590, Gilmerton, Edinburgh.
Helen Frazee, you are guilty of practicing devilish and detestable arts of sorcery and witchcraft.
April the 21st, 1597, Aberdeen.
Alexander Drummond, You have been found guilty of several cases of sorcery and witchcraft, charming and curing by witchcraft various diseases and sicknesses.
July 1629, Ochterada.
Anna Camp, Isabel Smith, and Margaret Kerr, you have been found guilty of the abominable crime of witchcraft after confession taken from your own mouth.
June 7th, 1661, East Lothian.
Janet McMurdoch and Elspeth Thompson, you are guilty of several articles of witchcraft, and we, the Lord Commissioners, have judged that you will be taken on Thursday next, the 18th of May, 1671, between the hours of 2 and 4 in the afternoon, to the ordinary place of execution for the town of Dumfries, and there you will be strangled at the stake until you are dead. Thereafter, your bodies will be burned to ashes.
What kind of people were most likely to be accused? Let's begin our investigation by looking at the case of Elspeth Thompson.
Elspeth Thompson, you are accused of several articles of witchcraft in various parts of Dumfriesshire. The main evidence comes from the family of your husband, William McGee. When witnesses are called, they should first state their name, their relationship to the accused, and then give their evidence.
Elspeth Copeland, widow of Donald McGee. Ma Donald and her were always quarrelling. The folk like cat and dog. And the truth is that every time they quarrelled, something happened to our things or to ourselves or our children. I've already lost one bairn, and now Ma Donald's passed away.
And do you think that the tragic loss of your husband can be blamed upon the accused?
Well, all I'm saying, sir, is that Ma Donald's deed, and that's less than a week after he and her, the witch, had an argument after Donald refused to cut peats for her. He said he was always on his guard for her, and he was sure that she was the cause of most of her misfortunes. There's evil in her household, sir.
What do you mean by that last statement?
Sure, her husband William told me once that he had felt a great heaviness come over him. And as he dozed off, the devil appeared in the shape of a rat and bit him twice in the left arm. The marks were there for everyone to see the following morning.
James McGee, brother-in-law of the accused. Some time ago I was asked by the accused to do a day's work for her, and I refused. She was not at all pleased and said she wanted nothing more to do with me and my work for the rest of the year. Immediately after that, I fell sick with terrible backache and dreadful headaches. I'm not as able now as before. There's no doubt that it's her to blame. She's a witch.
You're a rogue and a liar, James McGee, and you know it.
Don't you mind it.
A good day's work could kill you. You just get your...
Silence! You have no rights here whatsoever, Elspeth Thompson. You will remain silent. Proceed, Mr. McGee.
Some 12 years ago, there was a woman by name Janet Carlin stayed in her house, and she was burned as a witch. Since that time, there have been 2 wee holes beside the hearthstone in her house, and sometimes the ashes fly out of them and disappear up the chimney, and sometimes you can hear the sound of an animal of some kind scraping away under the hearthstone. It's as if the spirits are trying to take over the house.
Rosina McGee, sister-in-law to the accused. She's a witch, all right. She killed my baby.
Pray tell me, how was the accused responsible for this death?
It all started after her and I had a disagreement over the baptism of my baby. I didn't want her to be present at the baptism. It was her reputation as a devil worshipper, and I was having no bearing of mine being contaminated by any of her detestable practices. She was furious, and as I left her house, she shouted at the top of her voice. You can keep your bairn, and neither him nor you will get anything from me for the rest of your days.
And what happened then?
Well, the week after that I fell sick. The baby cried all the time, and the milk from her poo dried up, and the hen stopped laying eggs. I went back to see her again to ask for help, to talk about our quarrel, but when I told her what had taken place, all she said was, "Doesn't God work in mysterious ways?" Gave an odd kind of laugh. 2 days after my visit to her, our coo died. And 3 days after that, my baby passed on. Oh, she's a witch, all right. There's no doubt about that.
This was the sort of evidence that was brought against many suspected witches. As with Elspeth Copeland, cases were most often contested between people who actually knew each other, neighbours or relations. You could accuse someone of bewitching you just because you disliked or feared them, or some misfortune befell you. What sort of person in the village was most likely to be accused?
It's Widow Baxter. She's poor. How could she survive if the devil didn't look after her?
She came begging here for food. She said my cow would die unless I gave her something.
Have you seen the way her eyes are set deep into her head?
Oh, it's me. She was strange. She's got a hair on her face, and it's full of wrinkles.
Villages were very close-knit communities. Everyone knew everyone, and they were suspicious and afraid of anyone who was different. It was nearly always the poorest woman living alone who was accused of being a witch. Some exploited this fear and got food from their neighbours because they were so frightened she would take revenge. One man wrote in 1615,
"A very nobleman's request may be denied more safely than an old lady's request for buttermilk and small beer."
It was also true that a witchcraft accusation was more likely to succeed when brought against a person who already had a reputation for some form of magic. Most villages had their wise women, who treated the sick with herbs and folk remedies. Women like 59-year-old Janet Howie from North Berwick.
"I'm a spinster, and I live alone, apart from my 4 cats and my pet raven, in a cottage down by the Donata Wood. And all my days I've worked with herbs and plants that are God's gift to us all. And like my mother before me and her mother before that, I've cured all kinds of aches and pains in both man and beast. People used to come to my house regular and ask for help. And sometimes I'd have to spend days in the woods looking for the roots and herbs that would cure their ills and send them home happy. And now that's all stopped. Now I'm a witch, accused of killing Archie Young's cat and dog, and of causing his coo's milk to dry up, of inflicting sickness on Annie Davidson, and worst of all, of meeting with the devil in the woods and doing unmentionable things. Once I was accepted, and now I'm to be burnt at the stake. I don't understand it. I've done nothing really wrong. It's all a mystery to me."
Witchcraft provided an explanation at a time when no other was available. Well, people were prepared to believe that illness had a supernatural cause, as they knew so little about disease. A whole variety of aches and pains were blamed on witches. Even doctors would talk of a patient being bewitched when they had no other explanation. When women like Janet Howie used folk remedies, such as a dried toad worn round the neck, if anything happened to her patient, evil doings were suspected. Many women came forward and admitted they were witches. But what of those who did not confess? There were men who could make money from the persecution of witches, and would use torture to get a confession.
"James Brown, you will be paid the sum of 30 shillings to employ 4 watchers over the witch, Margaret Donald. They are to work in pairs for 5 days and 5 nights, and must ensure that the witch, Margaret Donald, does not sleep."
"Keep your eyes open, witch, and tell us about the devil."
"How often did you meet me? Once a month, once a week, once a day.
How many times?
I sleep, sleep, sleep,
oh, for
the love of God,
have mercy. Don't speak up, sir. Where's the devil you for? Is that not correct?
Yes, yes. No. I'm a believer. Oh, please let me sleep.
Shut your face, you. Let the wake break up, Zona. No day, morning, or day. Tell us when you met with the devil. Was it not you and your ugly cronies with your devilish enchantments and spells that caused the death of Richard Cadden, he did the perishing of his crew at 12 in the sea outside Prisonborough?
No, I swear to God, I had nothing to do with that tragedy.
Right, lads. Put the wages into the ring and holler, so I'm getting through.
There were also telltale signs that could single out a witch. A witch who sat in bright sunshine would not have a shadow. No witch could shed tears. The most common sign was the devil's mark, or witch's mark. This was a mark believed to have been left by the devil on the body of the witch, and, when pricked, caused neither bleeding nor pain. Here, John Kincaid, one of the most famous of the body of men who earned their living searching for the witch's mark, presents his evidence at the trial of Janet Payston in Dalkeith outside Edinburgh in June 1661.
The accused was blindfolded before I started my search. When I discovered the marks, I inserted pins into them. They were long pins of 3 inches or thereabouts in length. I then asked the accused where she thought the pins were, and she pointed at a part of her body some distance from the marks where the pins were located. When I withdrew them, there was not a sign of blood on any part of her body. She has joined with the devil in a demonic pact.
Another test of the extraordinary powers of the witch, used more often in England than Scotland, was the ordeal of swimming. Here, suspected witches were stripped and placed in sacks with their toes tied to their thumbs. They were then bound by ropes and held under water. This happened 3 times. If the witch swam or floated to the surface, she was guilty of witchcraft. If she sank and drowned, she was innocent. They were looking for any indication of guilt and a shift from God to the devil. Those hoping to make a profit often held the ropes tight so that the accused would not sink. Witches had to be caught fast, or they could cast spells on people, turning them into greyhounds and horses and escape. You could try and protect yourself against the evil.
Witches flying through the air can be grounded by the sound of church bells.
If an animal has been bewitched, then burn it or bury it alive.
Scratch the witch's face and make it bleed, and then any spell she has over you will be ended.
People during the 16th and 17th centuries took the threat of witchcraft very, very seriously. But by the beginning of the 18th century, it was no longer regarded by the government prosecutors as important, and was beginning to fade in popular belief. Had there been a fall-off in the number of witches? Or do you think there were other reasons why so many people were executed for witchcraft?
Witches' power, fact or fiction, point this mind in that direction. Give it strength. And give it power, so that in that deadly hour all the truth will be revealed, so the case will then be sealed.
Witchcraft was produced by Elizabeth Cleaver.